as they make their way, can we open our Bibles to Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 3. And we are reading two verses this morning. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. It's okay, whatever translation of the Bible you read. We usually use the New King James in this church, but we also reference so many other translations. But I'm reading from the NIV this morning. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I'm also reading Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it." Shall we take a moment to pray? Father, we just thank you so much. We appreciate you for the privilege to be here this Sunday morning. We know it's not by accident that we are here today, O God. But you are the one that has ordered our steps to be here, O God. Thank you, O God, because we have come running to you under your covering, under your wings this morning. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, especially since this year began. Thank you, Lord, for strength, for provision. Thank you for who you are to us. We appreciate you, Father. As we look into your word this morning, Lord, I pray, O God, that this word will come forth with power, it will come forth with life. The Bible says Jesus was preaching in that place and the power of God was available to heal. Let your power be available as this word comes forth this morning. To connect someone's need to the word of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you use me as instrument of righteousness this morning. Help me to deliver this message with grace. Help me, oh God, to deliver it with power. And Lord, I pray for myself and for everyone here and everyone that will listen to this message, that you give us the power to be able to be a doer of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The first text we read this morning in Ephesians is the word that Pastor Joe shared with us at the beginning of this year. That is the word that God gave us for this season. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. That's a tongue twister. Immeasurably more, okay? Another translation says infinitely more. Another one says super abundantly more. That's my favorite. Far more, much, much more. More, much, much, much more. NLV, hallelujah. God is able to do it. And I believe that he is set to do much more for us this year. Hallelujah. And that place we read in Malachi points our attention to something very important. So it's not that God is just able to do more. He's also willing to do more. He's giving us this promise that 2018 is going to be different. How many people believe that? Say amen. 2018 is going to be different. It's going to be better than the last year, better than our past experiences. But there's a key thing. Okay, there's something really key to us receiving that more that God has for each and every one of us. And that key is hidden in that verse in Malachi chapter 10. It says, "And try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive." Don't worry, I'm not preaching about tithing and giving, and you know, this morning is not the whole of my message. It's going to be part of it. But this word is saying that there will not be room enough. So that tells us something. It tells us that we need room to receive. We need room to receive. You know, there have been so many times I want to download something on my phone, and you know, I press the Lord and say, "Oh, the memory is full." That means there's no room, right? There's no room to receive more. So this verse is telling us that there needs to be room. there needs to be space. When you talk about room, you're talking about space. You're talking about capacity, you know, to receive. Hallelujah. That has to be in place if we are to receive more this year. And that's why I've titled this short teaching, Make Room for More. Can you look at somebody sitting next to you and say, make room for more? That is God's, you know, it was clear in my spirit as we entered this year, as we were praying about this year. That was the instruction God gave to me personally, you know. And as I was praying about what to share with you today, God said the same word. Tell these people in this church, tell my people that they need to make room for more. Hallelujah. I want us to look at a story in the Bible this morning. I love the Bible, and I love reading the Bible. Hallelujah. So anytime I come here to share the word with you, get ready to open as many scriptures as possible. The Bible says, you know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. You know, we need to establish. I don't just come here and tell you my experience, but I tell you my experience based on God's word. I tell you what God is doing, what I've done, you know, with what God has said, and we look at it together and see if those things are so. Hallelujah. So there's a story in 2 Kings chapter 4 that really buttresses my point this morning. So there are actually two stories we're going to look at. And interestingly, they are right next to each other in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings is after 1 Kings. Okay. But it's after Samuel. 1 Kings is after Samuel. 2 Kings chapter 4. Are we there? There's a story. We don't have time to read it, but I want you to get home and read it. We're going to be dwelling in from verses 1 to about 37. But because of our time, we will not be able to go through, but we're just going to be looking at some very critical points that the Lord is pointing our attention to this morning. Verse 1 says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to him, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing. Your maidservant has what? Nothing in the house but a jar of oil. I was just trying to see whether you're following me. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you. So we moved to verse 6. He said, now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Praise the Lord. Can we take a moment to look at the life of this certain woman? The Bible did not even mention her name. I like you know, studying the lives of women in the Bible. Not just because I'm a woman, but because of the way the society is in those days. They don't reckon, you know, women to be anything in those days, in the context of the culture. Hallelujah. But, you know, seeing women being referenced in the Bible tells me that God recognizes women. God loves women. God have roles for women to play in the society. God have roles to play for women in the home. And God wants women to fulfill their purpose because it's God's one for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. And it's so good that it's not just for women that it's written for. It's for men as well. So men need to learn from women as well. Hallelujah. But it's interesting that this woman, her name was not even mentioned. You know what that tells me again? That it doesn't matter. The promises of God is for whosoever will. It doesn't matter. She might not be in the list of who's in the society. But the Bible recognized what she did. The Bible recognized her life and wants us to learn from it. Praise the Lord. It says that it went to Elisha. Elisha, you know, kind of represents He was a very powerful man of God. You know, his life and his exploits for God was really documented in 2 Kings from chapter 3 to, I think, about chapter 8. You know, he did so many miracles. And in chapter 3, I think, he ministered to royalties. He ministered to three kings. Hallelujah. And now we see Elisha here ministering to this widow woman who has nothing. How good is God? Praise the Lord. He can minister to the highest of highest and lowliest of lowlies. It doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. I'm just pointing all these things out. That's all where I'm going. The Bible says she went to Elisha, this man of God that represents the presence and the power of God, and said, "My husband is dead." He was a servant of God. He loved God. We served God together. But unfortunately, he died. The Bible didn't tell us why he died. We don't need to know. Hallelujah. But there's a need in the life of this woman. And the only thing Elisha can ask her, what do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? So I believe Elisha was asked that question because he wanted to know whether this woman have capacity. I'm sure if that woman have said, "Oh, I have this, I have that, I have this, I have this," you know, I believe Elisha would still have asked her, you know, to do something specific. You know, but interestingly, this woman didn't have anything but a jar of oil. But what did Elisha tell her? Told her to go and get more empty vessels. You know, that the space you have, although it's still a bit empty, is not empty enough. He told this lady that you need room to receive the miracle. You need room to receive what God is about to do in your life. It doesn't matter whether you have much. It doesn't matter whether you have little. You can have little and still not have room. Praise the Lord. So that tells us that we cannot receive more without making room for more. The level of what we receive, the level of our receiver, if there's any word like that, is proportional to how much room we have to receive. So, and that is what, you know, that's what I want to bring out from this verses of the scripture this morning. That we have to create that room. We have to create capacity to receive from God this year. How many people want to receive from God this year? I know we all do. We all do. Hallelujah. We all have, you know, one area of need or another in our lives. And we want to receive. But God is telling each and every one of us today that we need to make room. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting that God is not just asking us to make room by just creating space alone, right? But there's a principle in the kingdom which is different from all other principles when you look at all the things around us. Hallelujah. The way God works is just so, it's something you can't just comprehend, you know, by the natural mind. We cannot. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be moving a bit further this morning, and we're going to be looking at how, you know, the process of making room works in the kingdom of God. And I must reiterate again that God is ready to bless us. I believe it so much in my spirit. Praise the Lord. Some of you might think that, we are seeing all the signs of the end times, right? Nations are rising against nations, earthquake everywhere, you know, all sort of atrocities being committed against humanity. You know, those are clear signs, you know, of the end times, as stated in the book of Mark and Luke, you know, and even Matthew, you know, it talks about some of these things happening. We're in the end times. But it's interesting that the Bible says in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "In the end times, I will pour out my spirit." And when we pour out the spirit, we are going to do exploit. That means it doesn't matter whether things are going down, whether economic situation is going down. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. As the Bible says, when sin abound, grace much more abound. Hallelujah. So let's forget about the fact that things are not working around you. Hallelujah. That is not what God is saying. God is saying that right in the midst of it, it says 1,000 will fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left hand, but they will not come near you. Hallelujah. That is the promise that we have from our God. Hallelujah. So this season is a season of lifting. But like I said before, when God makes a covenant, when God makes a promise, he doesn't want us to be puppets. He wants us to be active participants. Hallelujah. And that is why we are talking about this part. you know, that we have to do. God will always be faithful. We have sung about it this morning, that he's a faithful God. He will forever be faithful. But are we willing to do our own part? Is the question this morning. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be going a bit deeper this morning. Another thing I want us to look at, you know, as we begin to move on is I want us to look at another story right next to this story of the certain woman, starting from verse 8 all the way to verse 37. Detail the story of a woman, another woman with no name. Interesting that the Bible, you know, detailed what happened with her. This lady was just referred to as a woman of Shunem. You know, many places we've seen it referred to as a Shunammite woman. I'm sure some of us have heard of her before, but because of the benefit of those who haven't, so this woman is called the Shunammite woman. I will just read a few verses. It says in verse 8, "Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food." So we see this woman, she's called the Shunammite woman because she's from Shunem. Okay? So this woman and her husband, the Bible says she's a notable woman. Another translation says she's a great woman. So this woman is a wealthy woman. Wealthy in resources, wealthy in character, you know. But from the story, we understand that there are people, she and her husband are people who know God. There are people who love God. Hallelujah. They've seen this man of God going past their house. Maybe, you know, peradventure, they've sat down and listened to his teaching. Okay? So they know that this man, this Elisha, going and coming is from God, represent God. Hallelujah. But she just said to herself one day, I can't just, you know, allow this man to just be passing and going. You know, in those days, when those prophets, when they travel, when they go minister, they don't take anything with them. They just go wherever the night falls. They find somewhere to lay their head. The Bible talks about Elisha having a servant called Gehazi. So I'm sure Gehazi must have had a lot of work to do, preparing and packing their bags and moving from one place to the other. Hallelujah. And trying to figure out where they're going to lay their head. So you can imagine, you know, when this woman offered a meal to this man of God, you know, how much it will have, you know, meant to them at that time. Praise the Lord. So the story of this woman, I think I should just give you a broad, because we don't have time to read all this, the verses. But like I said, when you get home, read it. So this woman offered, you know, some food. Eventually, she offered her house. And after some time, Elisha asked her, what can I do for you? You know, do you want me to speak to the authorities on your behalf? Do you need something? You know, I know you are rich, but maybe you want to be more powerful and you need some kind of contract from the government. You know, maybe I can speak because, you know, I'm a prophet. I know in those days, prophets know people in the high places. Remember I said in chapter 3, Elisha ministered to 3 kings. Okay, so he knows and they respect him. But this woman said, I don't need anything. I'm fine. I'm just doing this for you. How, you know, that portrays contentment in our lives. You know, contentment. But whether we are content or not, it doesn't matter. You know, we are supposed to be content with what God has given us. But when God says he's ready to do more, who are we not to be ready to receive it? Praise the Lord. And this woman, you know, eventually, Elisha asked his servant Gehazi and said, what do you think this woman needs? And Gehazi said, you know, this woman needs a son. I'm not sure whether she even has any, but the Bible records that this woman does not have a son, you know. And Elisha prayed, and this he said, by this time next year, you will have a son. And this woman said, don't lie to me. My husband is old. How can we have a son? You know, sounds similar that like to another one in the Bible, isn't it? You know, and then the word was exactly as Elisha said it. That woman, you know, had a son. And eventually, the man of God moved on. And the son, was sick one day, and just like that, right on his mother's lap, died. And this woman, she went to, what she did was she took that child and put it on that bed that she has prepared, that room she has prepared for Elijah, you know, and took her horse and rode to where Elisha was, and another miracle happened. The boy was woken, you know, from the dead. Hallelujah. But where are we going this morning? I want us to pick out, there are three major areas where God is telling us to make more room this year. Three major areas. I know there's a lot of areas where, you know, God will be, you know, as I'm speaking, and even after this service, that God will be dealing with you in your heart to make room, you know. But there are three major areas that God pointed my attention to in these verses of the scripture. And that's why we're dwelling on the story of this woman this morning. The first one, the first area where God wants us to make room. Remember, we are talking about making room for God to work. We are talking about making room for God to do more in our lives. And the fact that without room, we cannot receive what God is ready to do. So God said we need to make room, number one, for a more deep relationship. To make room for a deeper relationship. To make room for a deeper relationship. In that story that we read, that woman of God has seen that Shunammite woman, has seen that man of God going, you know. They know him. In fact, let me read a verse to you. It says, when that woman, when the son died, and he took the horse, he didn't even tell the husband what happened, and he was going to find Elisha in verse 23. The husband said, why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon or the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. That tells me that they must have been going on the Sabbath to listen to that man of God, right? That's why the man was surprised. Why are you going to him today? It's not church day. Why are you going? Praise the Lord. So that tells me that they had a relationship even before she invited that man into her house. Praise the Lord. They know him. He's their preacher. Maybe he's their pastor. Maybe he's somebody, you know, they've sat down to listen to. Somebody they respect. But that woman, you know, talked to her husband to make room for a deeper relationship. In verse one that we read, she first offered him some food. And then, after some time, in verse 10, he says, please, talking to her husband, let us make a small upper room on the wall. And let us put a bed for him there. And a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. That is, they wanted something deeper, isn't it? So this morning, I'm talking about making room for a deeper relationship. Deeper relationship vertical with God and deeper relationship vertical with, you know, divine relationship, divinely orchestrated relationship that God has put in your life. Let's look at, you know, making room for a deeper relationship with God. Like I said, this woman, you know, the Elisha represent the presence and the power of God. And this woman went beyond just him passing by and eating. He actually wanted him to dwell in their house. Hallelujah. He wanted to know that man of God. And that's why when she wrote to that man, you know, the man knew that the son was dead. He immediately he listened to her and followed her. Hallelujah. In fact, because they were walking too slow, he sent his servant ahead. That go and do this, go and do that. Although the servant couldn't do anything. It's interesting that the servant went there, did that, and came back and still met them on the way going. That was how, you know, important it was to Elisha. Hallelujah. Because of that deeper connection that woman has built with him. Hallelujah. So how can we build that deeper relationship? How can we make room for a deeper relationship with God? I'm just going to mention two. There are different ways, like I said, you know, that God will be telling you about. But the main ones I want to focus on is number one. I want you to make room in fasting. Somebody say fasting. A lot of people don't like that word. I know it's not easy to fast, but it's interesting what happens when we fast. Apart from the fact that it's an avenue, you know, in Isaiah, it talks about this is a fast that I've chosen to break every yoke, you know, to set the oppressed free, you know. Fast is supposed to do that. But beyond that, I want us to look at another thing that fasting does. Let's open to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So that is talking about room again, right? When you're hungry, that means there's room for something to go in, right? But it says, they that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. They shall be filled. And in another place in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible records how, I think it starts from chapter 3, when Jesus went into the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Hallelujah. And it's interesting in chapter 4, verse 2, it says Jesus fasted, you know, and he was hungry. Fasting creates an hunger for God. It creates a deep hunger for God. And it helps you to make room for God. Hallelujah. You know, at the beginning of this year, we took time to fast corporately. We spent 7 days at the beginning of the year just, you know, committing this year into God's hand. And, you know, those 7 days were beautiful. How many people were part of that in one way or the other? You know, the experience was so good. Was so good. In fact, on day 8, I did not even feel hungry. You know, I just, after some time, I just had because, you know, is what we do. Hallelujah. It created a refocus on God. And it created a deep hunger in my spirit for God. Hallelujah. But much more than the corporate fasting, which we're still going to be doing from time to time in the course of the year, I want you to engage in personal time of fasting. Hallelujah. And fasting is not, some people think fasting is penance. They think that if you fast and deprive yourself of this and that, it will make God, you know, to do what you want. Hallelujah. That's not true. You know, it's not true. It's far from the truth. You know, nothing we can do can make God do what we want. Not even fasting. But we can create, it can make us create room for him to do his will. Hallelujah. That's what fasting does. You know, it even changes. Sometimes I'm fasting and I'm praying for some things. And in the course of prayer, you know, I change my prayer point. Because God is telling me, no, you are not praying according to my will here. This is not what I want for you. And fasting also, you know, it prepares you for the answer. I know we all know. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says wait. And sometimes he says no, because he's got something better. So fasting creates that avenue for you to accept, you know, to accept what the verdict is at the end of the day. It's not that you don't have faith enough. Hallelujah. So that's what fasting does. Fasting, you can fast one meal. It can be a partial fast. It can be a full fast. Some people go 21 days full fast. Hallelujah. But if it's just a meal, you can fast. And, you know, you can add to that fasting of one meal, fast your Facebook for that day or something, you know. You can add that to it so that you can focus. You know, we said fasting, in the course of our corporate fasting, we said fasting is you leave food, you leave some things to focus on righteousness, to focus on God. Hallelujah. And the more you do that, the more that hunger, you know, the more that hunger is created in you. Hallelujah. So I want us to create room for a deeper relationship by fasting and waiting on God. Hallelujah. The other way is meditation on God's word. Joshua 1:8. I'm sure all of us can say that by heart. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you can have what? Good success and make your way prosperous. Hallelujah. Meditation on God's word is another way, you know, we create room. So you consciously, meditation is not this new age thing that they are talking about now. It's not, what's the one that they sit down on the floor and cross your leg and what is that? Yoga. It's not yoga. Hallelujah. I'm not saying yoga is bad. But meditation is you just creating time in your day to think about God. Creating time in your day to think about God's word. creating time in your day, you know, to just, it doesn't, you can be in a train going to work in the morning. Hallelujah. And you just consciously make that effort to think about him. Maybe there's a word you studied that morning. Maybe there's a verse of scripture that ministered to you. You know, that is how to make room for God. When you create that avenue. Hallelujah. Because of our time this morning, I'm going to be moving forward. I'm going to be moving really quickly. So fasting, meditating on God's word, creating time to think about God, to think about the things of God. Hallelujah. And we're also talking about horizontal relationship this morning. God takes both seriously. He takes both seriously. And that's why in December, we went through the Ten Commandments. And those Ten Commandments were summed up in just two. Our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. You know, from birth, from the cradle, from our little, from when we were born to when we go, you know, when we exit this world, we are going to need people. Praise the Lord. We are going to need people. And God designed it that way. Hallelujah. God wants us to rely on people. You know, it's interesting when, you know, in that place when he was talking about giving, Luke chapter 6, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Full measure, pressed down, shaking together, shall what? Men give unto your bosom. Hallelujah. God uses men. He uses men around us. Hallelujah. And we need to take that relationship seriously. Hallelujah. But I'm not just talking about just everyone that comes to your life this morning. I'm talking about those ones that you know deep in your heart that this relationship is not by accident. Take time to create room to build that relationship. Hallelujah. I don't know whether it's going to be a girlfriend kind of relationship, you know. It's going to be whether a mentorship relationship, whether it's going to be a husband to wife relationship, whether it's going to be a parent to children relationship. It doesn't matter. But, you know, I want us to take the relationship in our lives seriously this year and create room for them. Hallelujah. Some of us, you know, we work so hard. We don't have time. The men here, some of you don't have time for your wives. Hallelujah. Some of us women here, some of us don't have time for our husbands. Hallelujah. But God is telling us this morning, we have to create that room to accommodate one another. Hallelujah. We shouldn't be living, you know, to walk. We should be walking to live. Praise the Lord. Our life shouldn't just surround our work and everything that concerns us alone. Hallelujah. So take time to build relationships. Hallelujah. Pastor Joe already mentioned it. We're going to be dwelling more about our families in the coming weeks. Hallelujah. And we're going to dwell more on that. But I just want you to know that when you are doing that, you are making room. You are making room for God to do what he can do in your home. And what God is going to do through people in your life. Hallelujah. Some of us need to just declutter and just get rid of some relationships in our lives that are not profitable. Some of us spend so much time, you know, with people that drain us. They drain life out of us. You know, they never give anything back. This year is a year to cut those relationships off. Hallelujah. You need to cut it off if you need to. Hallelujah. And just focus on the relationship that is going to help you fulfill your God-given destiny. Praise the Lord. Another way God is telling us another thing God is telling us to make room for is to make room for more giving. Make room for more giving. Make room for more giving. Hallelujah. We're going to go back to that 2 Kings. 2 Kings and look at that Shunammite woman again. That woman, like I mentioned before, first offered food to Elisha and his servant. And after that, he made a bed. He created a room and made a bed and a table. He knows this man, we need time to study. He will need a chair to sit on. We need a table to put whatever he's using to prepare for. And she gave more. But you know what, what came to me when I was thinking about this is, when we want to make room to give more, it's not going to be easy. That woman will probably need to do more cooking. You know, when visitors come to visit you, that's when you want to cook the best. If it's just you and your family, you can just order pizza on the go, and that's it. You're straight off to bed. But when people are in your house, you go the extra mile. You cook. More cooking. More cleaning. More extra room. You know, maybe that room was not even there before. Maybe they just created it. Maybe that room has been kept locked. Now she needs to go there and clean it. More sheets to wash. More washing. Hallelujah. But this woman, and remember, this woman is rich. So she doesn't have to do it. Hallelujah. But she went that extra way. Hallelujah. And gave more. Went beyond just giving food, but offered that shelter as well. Praise the Lord. So we need to move from the level of we have to give to the level of we get to give. That is a privilege. It's a privilege for us to give. And God wants us to do more of that this morning. Acts 20, verse 35, it says, you know, Paul was speaking there, and he was telling them, remember the words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So, you know, it's a time of the year when we are decluttering, you know. As I drive down my street, you know, see all the cabs filled with stuff, you know. And do you know that all those things were new? In fact, you see some of the things that are still even new that, you know, those people didn't even actually use them. Hallelujah. And that's why you see people going around to look through those stuff to pick things that, you know, that are still good out of it. You know, we need to realize that all these things that we hold on to, all the things that we hold on, one day it will become trash. It will become trash. And that's why we need to make a conscious effort to create room by giving it out. Don't let it, you know, get to the point of you leaving it by the street that no one will even appreciate it anymore. You know, let's make a conscious effort to be a blessing to other people. And, you know, like I said, the kingdom principle is just so, so interesting. We are talking about making room for deeper relationship. But we are talking about you giving out of your time. You giving out of you know, your attention. You know, the way we are blessed, the way we receive more in the kingdom is by, you know, giving out. Hallelujah. And that place we read in Malachi chapter 3 talks about bringing all the tithes into the storehouse. Some people don't even like us talking about the topic of tithing because they think it's a way to make money for the church. It's a way to make money for the pastors. It's not true. And some even say, oh, tithing is in the Old Testament. So we're in the new dispensation now. We are not supposed to be tithing anymore. I don't believe that. Because if you can claim promises in the Old Testament, how will you, you know, why are we not saying, oh, it's the Old Testament? There are so many beautiful promises in the Old Testament that we pray about, that we confess, that we want to experience. But when we talk about things to do, you know, in the Old Testament, we shy away from it and we say, no, it's not. That's the Old Testament. Hallelujah. The New Testament is a confirmation of the Old. And there's nowhere in the New Testament where it says that you shall not tithe. Hallelujah. In fact, references were made in the New Testament of Abraham paying tithe to Melchizedek. Hallelujah. So I want you to make room. God wants us to make room for more giving this year. Want us to take our tithing seriously. And like I said, some of these things we are talking about as pastors and leaders in this house, these are not things that we just come and read to you. We don't just come here and read a sermon. We come here and tell you these things that we have done, the things that we have been doing. Since I started working, even before I got married, I've known this principle and I've been doing it. In my early years of you know, my Christian walk with God, you know, I can't say that I was totally faithful to it. But at some point in my life, you know, I became more matured and I discovered that even if I don't give this 10%, the 100% is not even enough anyway. But God asking you to give that 10% is opening up an avenue for you to be blessed. Hallelujah. It's an avenue for us to be blessed. In fact, if you read that place in Malachi chapter 3, you see it's like a fivefold kind of blessing that is released upon a tither. You know, He says all nations will call you blessed. He says God himself will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You know, he says he will pour you blessing. There won't be room to receive, you know. And he says we need to test him. He says, I'm standing, I'm backing up this word. If you do it, I will do my part. Hallelujah. But why is it so hard for us? Hallelujah. I want us to consider it this morning. You know, this message is not to condemn anyone. It's not to judge anyone. It's just to get us thinking and to position us to receive God. We don't want anyone to be left behind in this year. We want every one of us to come out here and testify to the goodness of God. And that's why we're bringing this message to you this morning, so that we can position ourselves to receive. Praise the Lord. You know, so when we give out, we are giving God, you know, the privilege to fill us again. Praise the Lord. You are creating that room. You are creating that room. I don't know what the Lord is telling you to do. You know, another way we give out is when we give out of what we know. I don't know, maybe God is telling you to write that book. Maybe God is telling you to write that blog. Maybe God is telling you to put that post on Facebook. Maybe God is telling you to share that thing, you know, because he wants to bless someone with it. And what you know, it doesn't really show until you begin to give it out. And you can't really get in some more if you don't share what you already know. Hallelujah. So it's not just physical giving of our resources and money. It's also giving of our knowledge. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3, 9 to 10 talks about, you know, honoring the Lord with your possession and with the first fruits. It says, so shall your barns be filled with plenty. So it's talking about emptying again so that we can be filled. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 talks about the one who scatters and yet increases more. It says, he who waters will also be watered. Hallelujah. Isaiah 58, 10 and 11 says, feed the hungry and help those in trouble, that your light will shine forth. Hallelujah. Let's be a blessing by giving to those around us, whether financially, teaching. Maybe God is telling you to teach that Sunday school. Maybe God is telling you to share on that. You know, we have women in this church, we have a WhatsApp group. Sometimes the whole week is just quiet. You know, sometimes you got you know, minister to you in the morning about something. Share with us, you know. Maybe God can use that word to bless someone else. Praise the Lord. I need to move fast this morning. So the last thing, number three, that we learn from the life of this woman in making room. God is asking us to make room for more service. He wants us to make room for more service. It's amazing how time goes so quickly. Hallelujah. That thing that woman did, you know, he saw a ministry need. And he just did it. You know, people ask, you know, what is the definition of ministry? Ministry is just seeing a need, praying to God about it, you know, and then doing it, doing something. You know, some of us will be complaining about things that are not happening in this church. You know, I told you that at the beginning about Next Gen that we're going to be meeting once a month, you know. Partly it's because we don't have enough hands. Hallelujah. We will have loved to be here every week, but we don't have enough people. But instead of complaining about things not happening, let God use you, you know, to lift up the body of Christ. Pray about area where you can serve. And it's interesting. In Mark 10 and verse 43, you know, Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. You know, it's just the way the kingdom principle. It's just a kingdom principle. It's the way the kingdom of God works. When you give out, you receive more. And you kind of, when you are giving out, you are making room to receive more. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting. Somebody mentioned one day that, I can't remember, I think when we were doing that fasting and prayer thing, and it was saying, oh, I won't be here the whole day. I know some people can't physically be here because of work and all that. I said, oh, you are the pastors. You have to be there. You know, we are not here because we are pastors. We are here because we love God. We are here because we love God and let God know that you love him. Let people around you know that you love him. When doors open to the church, be the first to get here. Hallelujah. When we call for prayer meeting, don't let anything, you know, block you from coming. Be determined. Hallelujah. Like I said, when there's a ministry area, you know, to serve in, go for it. Don't wait until you know that area that God is calling you to. You know, you get to know your area when you actually do something. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how many areas I've served. Hallelujah. Even before I got married, you know, I've been serving. You know, I lead a church in prayer and everything. Right back in my uni days, I joined a prayer group. We used to have a prayer group. So like you have the worship team and hospitality, you also have a prayer group that intercede for the church. I actually learned to pray by actually praying. Hallelujah. And in the place of service, that is where you create room to grow. Hallelujah. When church opens, I didn't even dream. I even prayed not to marry a pastor. Hallelujah. I'm sure you've heard a lot of pastors' wives say that. You know, it's not something we plan for. Hallelujah. But right where you are serving, God is seeing you. God is seeing that void being created in your life, and is getting ready to fill it. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 4:10 talks about us using our gifts that we have received from God to serve others. Praise the Lord. Maybe it's just witnessing to somebody. Make this year be the year where you are going to bring someone to Christ. The Bible says that heavens rejoice when a single soul is saved. Let God use you. Praise the Lord. Maybe it's just inviting. Some of us don't know how to witness. But just bring them in here. Invite someone to church. Hallelujah. And let God do the rest. Praise the Lord. Romans 12 talks about us being one body with many different gifts. And Hebrews 6:10 talks about the fact that God is not unjust to forget our labor of love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints. God will never forget. God will never forget. Hallelujah. And Pastor Joe here is a pastor today, but he didn't start being a pastor. We have gone to church, you know, we have been cleaners at church. We have done so many things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we didn't even know that God is going to commit this huge responsibility in our hand, we were creating room. We are creating capacity. Hallelujah. And that's what God is asking us to consciously do this morning. So the question this morning is this. God is ready to bless us. God is ready to increase us. God is ready to do more, exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine this year, 2018. But like I said, the way the kingdom, God's kingdom works is you need to make room. And you make room by giving more. Give more. Make room for more relationship. Make room for more giving. Make room for more service. Like that woman, the Shunammite woman. Hallelujah. As we close this morning, I want us to open to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. Or some people call it Isaiah. I don't know. Isaiah 54. From verse 1. It says, sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. Hallelujah. God is asking us this morning to enlarge our capacity. To enlarge our capacity. Some of us are going to be like that widow woman with only a jar of oil who don't really have much, but he's still asking us to make room for him to walk. Hallelujah. Some of us are going to be like the rich young ruler in the Bible. The rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, who had everything. He had everything. But when he came in contact with Jesus, he told him to go and give away, to sell and give away all he had. Because God is the only one who knows. He wants him to create a room to fill, you know, to fill him with that one thing that is missing in his life. Hallelujah. Let's be people who are, you know, heaven conscious, eternally conscious. Hallelujah. This 2008. Hallelujah. But this place is saying that whatever your situation is, whether you have more, whether you have, you know, things that you don't even know what to do with it, whether you feel you are filled spiritually or physically, or whether you feel there's a void in your life, He's saying that we need to enlarge our capacity. We need to lengthen our cord, and make a big room for God to work. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you this morning. May the Lord increase you on every side. As we begin to pray this morning, I want you to start thinking of that area where you need to make room. That area you need to make room for more service. That area you need to make room for more giving. That area you need to make room for a deeper relationship, a deeper walk with God, in fasting, in meditation, in creating time to serve God and to serve the people of God. I want you to pray that the Lord will release the grace upon you this morning. It's not so much about doing stuff. It's not adding to what you are doing now, you know. It's just creating that room, looking through your schedule and putting what matters most, what is going to count for eternity, putting it in front, thereby creating that room for God to do his work. Ask God for grace. You know, in that story of that young ruler in Mark 10, in verse 27, it says, with God, it is impossible. With God, it is possible. He said, with men, it might not be possible, but with God. Because the disciples were trying to say, so who can be saved if this rich young ruler who has obeyed all the commandments, you know, is going away sad because he has to sell all his things, you know? And Jesus told them that with God, it's possible. Hallelujah. So I want you to pray and ask for help from above this morning. Ask for help in that area that you need him to. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to look into your word again this morning. Thank you because you've shown us from your word how your kingdom works. You want us to create room in our lives, in our homes for you. And you have shown us from this word that the way to do that is by giving out. The way to do that is by serving more. The way to do that is by creating more space for you to walk, having a deeper relationship with you. Father, we pray this morning. Pray for myself. I pray for my brothers and sisters and everyone here this morning that, Lord, you will help us to create room for the things that matters in our lives this year. To be able to create room for more of your blessing, for more, oh God, of your grace, for more of your power, for more of your anointing. And we know that several blessings is attached to creating more room. Lord, we pray, oh God, for that blessing to be upon us, oh God, as we begin to create room in our lives. Let miracles happen in our lives this year. In the name of Jesus, let there be lifting in every areas of our lives. Let there be increase in our finances. Let there be increase in every area of our lives, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you.